This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa usalli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad. وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تمسك بسنته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. Welcome brothers and sisters back to gems of guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who mentioned and told us various traditions and practices of how to live our lives. We stopped and we touched upon the hadith about staying away from innovations, and inside that hadith or discussion we mentioned whereby he mentioned that he left us on the plain land, the open land, whose night is like its day and is totally clear for a person to follow, and none who deviates away from that path except for that individual is destroyed or led towards a path of destruction, paraphrasing the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Remaining with that theme of what is clear and what a person needs to follow inside their life and what they need to avoid, we come to the following hadith number 6 of Nu'man ibn Bashir, whereby we find that he narrates this hadith about following that which is clear and remaining away from that which is doubtful inside our lives. He mentioned, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned and said, يَقُولُ إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّنْ وَإِنَّ الْحَرَامَ بَيِّنْ. Indeed, halal is clear and haram is clear. وَبَيْنَهُمَا أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ. And between the two, there are certain unclear or grey areas that exist there. لَا يَعْلَمُهُنَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ. And most of mankind, most people, don't know the correct ruling regarding those grey areas. فَمَنْ اتَّقَ الشُّبَهَاتِ اِسْتَبْرَأَ لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْدِهِ. Whoever stays away from those doubtful affairs or those grey areas, that person will have protected their honour and protected their deen. وَمَنْ وَقَعَ فِي الشُّبَهَاتِ. Whoever falls into doubts, that individual, وَقَعَ فِي الْحَرَامِ, will fall eventually into something which is impermissible or something which is forbidden. كَالرَّاعِي يَرْعَى حَوْلَ الْحِمَى. Just like the shepherd who has his flock around a sanctuary, يُشِكُ أَنْ يَرْتَعَ فِيهِ. He's careful that his flock doesn't enter into the opposite sanctuary, a sanctuary that belongs to somebody else. أَلَا وَإِنَّ لِكُلِّ مَلِكٍ حِمَى. And every king has his sanctuary or has his area which that belongs to that king or belongs to that ruler. Ala wa inna himallahi maharimuhu. The sanctuary or the boundaries or the parameters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the haram things. Meaning that if you cross a boundary, you enter into something which is forbidden. If you cross the line or you enter that which is haram of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is breaking the barriers or the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ala wa inna fil jasadi mudgha. Indeed, inside the body is a piece of flesh. إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ. If that piece of flesh is sound inside the body, then the whole body will be sound. وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ. If that is corrupt, then the whole body will become corrupt. أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبُ. And indeed, that is the heart, narrated by Imam Bukhari and Muslim. And we begin with the ending of this hadith about fasad, about corruption. Because we find that in the day and age whereby corruption is visible around us, and whereby we find, as ulama have mentioned, that the external corruption that a person may display or the external corruption a person visualizes inside society is only but the reflection of the corruption inside their hearts. Because the creed of Ahl Sunnah is that belief is what exists inside the heart of the individual, and the tongue utters that belief, and the limbs, they testify to that belief, show that adherence to the belief. And also the opposite. A person who delivers corruption, who speaks corrupt words, carries out corrupt actions, then this only shows that the internal organ of that individual is corrupt, that the heart is corrupt. And that's the Prophet alayhi salam. He gave these parables inside this hadith about corruption of the individual. Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali explained his hadith in his works on Jami al-Ulum al-Hikam. He mentions that the heart is like the king and the soldiers are the limbs. So when the heart is corrupt, the heart is ill, then you find that the pain of the heart or the weakness of the heart has an impact on the rest of the body. And that is the similitude of a person who is in authority, who is corrupt. And then the commandments that are placed or sent down from the corrupt individual will follow into the channels of his soldiers, and they will carry out corruption on the face of the earth, because they are only carrying out the orders or the commandments that are given to them. So thus we find that the element of purification of the human being is the purification of their heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. On that day, their children and their wealth will not avail them, except for whoever comes with a pure, with a sound heart, meaning they purify their heart and focus it towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the corruption that we see around us, and at times we find this tainted element inside society, that people amongst them, our own Muslims, are always trying to find the grey areas, are always trying to find the grey areas and try to fall into the grey areas, and the grey areas may eventually lead the individual into entering into something which is haram. The hadith begins by mentioning, إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّن وَالْحَرَامَ بَيِّن. Indeed, halal is clear and haram is clear, is evident. And there are affairs between them which are unknown, which are doubtful. Most people don't know. And a person should avoid doubtful affairs. And that's again another golden rule for us, is to stay away from doubtful affairs. As we mentioned the hadith previously, even though hadith or statement is weak, that a person should not think well of a person if he's in fi mawaqif al-tuhum. If a person is inside a doubtful environment, person should not be expect that people should be giving good thoughts of that person or that individual if they've placed themselves inside a doubtful affair. And as we mentioned, the golden rule is to stay away from something which is doubtful. If there's doubt about a matter, person should stay away from it, especially in things which are muharramat, which are around us, where at times we find things are beautified to be presented to look something which is acceptable, but there could be an element of doubt within them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, قُلْ لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ وَالطَّيِّبُ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثُ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَا أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. قُلْ لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ وَالطَّيِّبُ. Say that the pure and the impure are not the same. وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثُ. Even though that which is impure, it may dazzle or mesmerize you, or may startle you, make you glance towards it. So we find that haram, it is beautified. Haram at times is alluring. Haram at times is attractive, that it can attract a person to come towards it. Don't be surprised, many people who indulge in haram, they don't feel bad about doing haram. They feel happy. They feel peace. They feel good. They feel a sweet drink that they're drinking, which may be an alcoholic beverage for them. They don't feel that it's something intoxicates them. They don't find a problem with that. We may find it repulsive, etc. But for them, that their mindset has been turned and changed over, that which is impure seems pure to them, and that which is pure sees something which is seen as something which is impure towards them. And this is whereby the hearts have changed of human beings. Thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارِ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. It's not the eyes, the vision which has become blinded, but it's the heart which has become blinded. So when the heart becomes blinded or does not become receptive to the truth or receptive to something which is pure, then anything which is impure, then the heart delights in that, accepts it, and makes it a common norm inside the body of the individual or common practice around them, and they begin to see something which is pure as something which is repulsive because the heart cannot pick it up. And thus we find that Islamically, a person, we find harsh teachings inside Islam about one's heart, about awakening one's heart. A person who misses three consecutive Jum'ahs in a row, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seals the heart of that individual, of that Muslim. Their heart is sealed. So it shows the severe warning of this ritual, of this congregational prayer, of exerting one's effort to come to enjoin in this prayer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to give life to the heart. And that's even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions inside the Quran, to come to that which revitalizes your heart, which awakens your heart, which gives energy to your heart, which awakens your heart. That is what Islam is. It awakens the individual to see that which is halal and to see that which is haram, stick to the halal and to avoid the haram, and that individual will be a successful individual, and to stay away from any doubtful matters. And doubtful matters that we know that many individuals, they try to make excuses of things that they're doing, that this is a grey area, this is something which is doubtful, so there's no harm in doing this action because there is no clear-cut evidence of this being something which is haram. And many times this could be a lack of understanding of the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we remain with Surah Al-Ma'idah, whereby we mentioned قُلْ لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ وَالطَّيِّبُ قُلْ لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ وَالطَّيِّبُ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثُ, if we remain regarding in those passages of ayat that we find prior to that, if I'm not mistaken, inside verse number 90, that we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions يَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجْسٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Allah mentions inside this verse, Surah Al-Ma'idah, verses number 90 and 91, amongst the most powerful verses inside the Quran, of making something haram, making something which is forbidden upon this Muslim ummah, that indeed the taking of intoxicants, any form of intoxicants, that is forbidden, till eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that this is something which is ridsu min amali shaitan, which is a filthy handiwork of the devil. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses such harsh words towards these practices, and we find that some of us Muslims begin to have a lenient approach, or we begin to understand that intoxicants is only alcohol, don't be surprised there are a few minute number of Muslims who think that intoxicants is only what khamar, which is mentioned inside the Quran, and fail to understand the deeper meaning of al-khamar is ma'aqab al-aqar, aql, whatever intoxicates, enshrouds your mind, overcomes your mind, blinds your mind, blinds your senses, is something which is forbidden. So we find that some people may begin to justify the taking of drugs because drugs is not something which is mentioned inside the Quran. So we find a lack of understanding the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at times leads us to begin to make substances which are haram, to make them halal, or to make something which is halal, to make it haram, and a lack of understanding the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word al-khamr, whatever intoxicates the mind. And so some people may begin to feel that because specifically the word al-khamr, which can loosely be translated as any form of alcohol, that anything which is not alcohol is something which is allowed, it becomes something permissible, is something which is incorrect, because the terminology is referring to anything which intoxicates the mind. The reason why we want to mention this, from there we lead on to this concept of what many, or even elderly individuals, may Allah forbid, are involved in, the taking of shisha, whereby they find that this instrument, or the taking of this substance, is not actually smoking, it's not something which is forbidden, it's not something which is intoxicating, even though medically it has been proven that it has effects, and scientifically as well, and ulama and scholars have spoken about it as something which is forbidden. And people try to justify this is something which is doubtful, it's not very clear, so there's no harm in carrying out this action. As we mentioned, the first rule is something which is doubtful, a person needs to avoid it. And secondly, some of these actions that we carry out, they lead on to greater harm, or they lead on to more sins. As we mentioned, al-ma'asi, eventually baridul kufr. You find that sins can even lead till eventually the person carries the actions of kufr, of disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned inside the Quran, whereby speaking about shaitan, وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطَوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ, do not follow the footsteps of the devil. Shaitan doesn't come and say to the individual, come and commit haram. He has steps and stages that he works with every single individual, every single one of us. Inside Surah Al-A'raf, it's mentioned that he will come from the right, from the left, from behind, from in front, from everywhere, every angle, who come to attack the human being, to derail the human being away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the snares, the traps of the devil are many. What is known as talbis, iblis, and Ibn al-Jawzi wrote a whole book speaking about the devil's deception, of how he will come in various formats and various ways to derail people. So the way that he may come to a religious cleric may be different from how he comes to a young individual. But he will try to derail every single individual away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first stage, maybe the person thinks that this is something which is only doubtful, the taking of a shisha or being in such an environment is something only which is doubtful. There's no harm in doing that. But if we look at the whole environment that is placed where that person surrounds themselves with music, with free mixing, with smoking of cigarettes, maybe some people even taking of drugs, all of this then makes a whole environment of something which, according to the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is not pleasing, which is not something acceptable, and a person needs to refrain from it. The Quran encourages the individual to live a pure life, to live a good life, to protect their body, their soul, their mind, and their heart. The Quran mentions, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ السَّبِيلَ. Do not come close towards zina. وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never said, don't commit zina. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ. Do not come anything that leads to zina. Anything that leads to the final action of haram, then whatever leads to it, as the ulama mentioned, is something that becomes haram. So a person needs to avoid from it. So a person needs to be vigilant in staying away from doubtful affairs and also clarifying the doubts as they say. We find that the Prophet ﷺ was once with his wife Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha during the month of Ramadan in a state of i'tikaf, whereby he would come to the doors of the masjid and then she would comb his hair and exchange, maybe give food, etc. And he would speak to her. And two companions, they saw the Prophet ﷺ and they began to hustle and move very quickly and move away. And he said to them, Ala rislikuma, be at ease, be at rest. Indeed, I am only standing with my wife, Safiya, and speaking to her. And they said, we don't think anything doubtful or anything wrong about you. You are the messenger, you are the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's nothing that we think. But the Prophet still wanted to clarify that doubt and said that, indeed, be at rest, be at ease, I'm with my wife. And indeed, shaitan, he travels through the veins of human beings or through the mind and the body of the human being, just like blood travels through the veins. So he wanted to expel that myth, that doubt, take it away from them, because that doubt or that thought may even come into their mind that the Prophet ﷺ is speaking to a strange individual at this time, may Allah forbid, which is not something which is appropriate. So here what we learn is that the Muslim needs to be very, very careful in the type of environment that they place themselves in, lest any elements of doubt are thrown upon the individual. And thus we find that whoever, from التقى الشبهات, whoever saves themselves from doubtful affairs, فَقَدْ اسْتَبْرَأَ لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْضِهِ, then that person has sanctified, preserved, protected, guarded their honor, their dignity, and their iman. Because these are precious things. If we go back to the hadith, imagine if a person makes a blemish, makes a statement about an individual. We can see the context of this if we look at what is known as Qissatul Ifk, the story of Al-Ifk, the blame, what they uttered regarding Ummul Mu'mineen, our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. If you look at Surah An-Nur, the 24th chapter of the Quran, whereby Allah mentions that these individuals, Buhtanun Azeem, a great blasphemy, a great blame that they uttered, a great slander that they uttered upon our mother Aisha. Even though it wasn't true, but just the statement of this, that she was seen with this companion at this time, and this began to spread to what even that her own father had an element of doubt inside his mind, etc. Until eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down these verses, freeing her, absolving her from the blame that they're placing upon Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. So thus we find what we learn from this is a person to protect their iman, to protect their faith, protect their dignity, should be careful of the type of environment that they place themselves inside. وَمَنْ وَقَعَ فِي الشُّبَهَاتِ وَقَعَ فِي الْحَرَامِ. Whoever falls into the doubtful affairs could possibly fall into something which is haram, and they can only then blame themselves. And thus we find then the parable is given of a sanctuary. of a farm, of an open land, and the barriers which are of that open land. So if the person enters into the land of their neighbor, then they become responsible. And here some of the fuqaha begin to discuss that if a farmer, his sheep travels into another land, then is he dhamin, is he responsible for that? Some have said he is responsible because he is the shepherd. He should be watching over his flock and he should return the same amount of produce they may have damaged or they may have eaten. Others say no, because they are animals and they're going to wander here and there and maybe slightly go out of the parameters. So one should turn a blind eye towards that if it's something which is very small and something which is minute. But a key element here is the parable of having a sanctuary, of having boundaries, and never to break those boundaries. And just like a shepherd may have his boundaries, and likewise a king may have his boundaries of his kingdom and what he possesses and he owns, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the only king, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has boundaries. And the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the parameters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are the haram things. If you cross, if you enter into haram, you carry out haram, you've broken, you've entered into that which is forbidden, the boundary of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the person is to be exposed to the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus we find inside the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَقْرَبُوهَا. Allah mentions inside the Quran, those are the laws or the regulations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَا تَقْرَبُوهَا. Don't come close to them. Another place inside the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَعْتَدُوهَا. وَمَنْ يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Whoever transgress, goes beyond the boundaries of the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that person is amongst the wrongdoers, the oppressive individuals. And in general, when these verses, when they speak about the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَلَا تَقْرَبُوهَا, in general it's speaking about family rights and regulations that belong, showing the severity of taking care or looking after one's family, etc., that we find. So this transgression that a person may carry out, this external transgression, is actually a transgression upon one's own soul, affecting one's heart, affecting one's relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus you find the end of the hadith then begins to go into the spiritual dimension of speaking about the rectification of the heart as we began with, meaning that if the heart becomes corrupt, then it pays no attention to the laws it's breaking. It pays no attention that these are the parameters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if the heart becomes sound, a heart which is full of taqwa consciousness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it becomes vigilant in trying to stick close as possible to that which is halal and to avoid that which is haram and to stay away from any doubtful affairs. And that's why some of the ulama of spirituality, they mentioned that those who want to reach higher levels of proximity and closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will even leave the actions which are encouraged, or those actions which are mubah, which are permissible, will leave them. It's not haram to indulge in permissible or that which is allowed, actions which are allowed, which the Sharia is maybe silent about, but they leave them. For what intent? To come to a higher limit, a higher element of devotion and commitment towards or with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the focus that the Muslim needs to develop inside their heart, is about focusing on their heart, becoming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, فَذَكِّرْ بِالْقُرْآنِ مَنْ يَخَافُ وَعِيدٍ. Remind the people via the Quran, which will give you any, فَذَكِّرْ بِالْقُرْآنِ مَنْ يَخَافُ وَعِيدٍ, for one who fears the punishment, fears the bad ending. The Quran will awaken the heart of the individual. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَذِكْرَ لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ. Indeed, the Quran in the ayat inside Surah Qaf, the 50th chapter of the Quran, that we find, indeed in these ayat, in these verses, on this reminder, is will benefit that individual who has a heart, meaning that the heart is receptive to the verses and the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala soften our hearts, make our hearts come towards that which is halal, and to stay away from that which is haram, and to stay away from any doubtful affairs. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولجميع المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. we come to hadith number 7, continuing the journey of advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this hadith in specific begins to speak about the various formats of advice that a person needs to give. And we need to understand that Islam isn't just a spiritual relationship between oneself and the Creator, and to remain in a state of solitude and devotion and commitment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in secrecy, and not to bring that out inside society. That is the difference between other formats of understanding of religious behavior and concept in comparison to Islam. Islam believes that religion or belief isn't just a relationship between the Creator and the creation, but it is a belief of that the creation needs to hear the message, and one needs to advise one another to come back to the Supreme Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what we find ulama mention about this hadith, which speaks about advice, ad-deenun nasiha, that deen, religion, is sincere advice. Islam is sincere advice. And thus we find that some of the ulama, they mention that as if these words, ad-deenun nasiha, encapsulates the whole of Islam. That the whole of Islam, or the large portion of Islam, is just advising one another. Just like we find the hadith, al-hajju arafah, that the main theme of hajj is standing at the plain of Arafah. Whoever misses that has missed the hajj. That is what the intent of these such words are. Makarimul akhlaq. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned, innama bu'ithtu li'utammima makarimul akhlaq. Indeed, I've been sent to perfect the noble characteristics and traits and behavior. Meaning as if my whole sole purpose was to only refine the character of human beings. The way of the prophets, as the Quran mentions, is to give advice to the people and to remind their people and to warn their people and to encourage their people. وَقَالَ يَا قَوْمِ إِنِّي لَكُمْ نَذِيرٌ مُبِينٌ. O my people, indeed, I am a clear warner to you. Another place in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, إِنِّي لَكُمْ نَاصِحٌ أَمِينٌ. Indeed, I am a sincere advisor towards you. And thus we find that the Muslim is always trying to advise oneself and other Muslim individuals to come back to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to such a degree that you find inside the Quran whereby it mentions that the way of the believers laysa ala al-du'afa wala ala al-marida wala ala al-ladina la yajiduna ma yunfiquna harajun idha nasahu lillahi wa rasulihi. Inside Surah Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions there is no harm upon those individuals who are the weak, those who are the ill, the sick individuals, and those who don't have the wealth, who don't have the ability to go out in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the exempt categories of striving and struggling in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If they cannot do that, the least that they can do, they can still carry on. Either nasahu lillahi wa rasulihi, they can still carry on giving advice. They are not exempt from that. Meaning, every Muslim needs to carry on giving advice to one another. Likewise, in the prophetic tradition, haqqul muslim or haqqul mu'min ala mu'min, the right of a believer upon another believer, 6 rights that belong, wa dhakara minha, and from there is mentioned, idha istansahaka fansah lahu. If he seeks your advice in hadith in Muslim, then give your advice to your brother. This is amongst the 6 rights of a Muslim that belong to another believer, is if they seek your advice, your consultation, your opinion, or they ask you regarding something, فَانْسَحْ لَهُمْ, then you should, فَانْسَحْ لَهُ, then you should give that advice towards them, to be sincere inside your advice. And thus we find that النصيحة is sincerity. الدين النصيحة is sincerity, or sincere advice. That the person wants well for themselves, wants well for that individual, wants well, as the hadith mentions, the companions ask the question, قُلْنَا لِمَنْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, to whom does this sincere advice belong to? And he mentioned, لِلَّهِ وَلِكِتَابِهِ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِئِمَّةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَعَامَتِهِمْ. Sincere advice or devotion or commitment towards the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards his messenger, towards the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his messenger, towards the Muslims at large, and the governing body in specific. The person should be sincere towards them. These are the 5 elements of advice which are mentioned inside this hadith. The first thing that we find is lillah, sincere advice towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does this entail of being sincere towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? As we know that أن تبدأ بحق الله قبل حق الناس, to begin with the rights that belong to the creator before the creation. Because many individuals, once again, they use such statements that we are good to humanity, we are good to people, but they have no belief or conviction towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even amongst, Allah forbid, some of us Muslims, we have a similar concept as well. Maybe I don't pray, maybe I don't fast, maybe I don't do this or these rites of Islam, but I don't harm another Muslim, or I give them right advice, or I give charity to them, or I help them. That is something which is good, no doubt, that a person will be rewarded for that. But that should not be given preference over the beginning right. The beginning right is obedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the beginning. That follows, and that should be done as well. No one is saying that we should neglect that, but we should begin with the right that belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The right that belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be sincere in is sihatul i'tiqad fi wahdaniyatihi, and to be clear inside our belief and our conviction regarding the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ikhlasun niyyah fi ibadatihi, to be sincere in our intentions when we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the right of sincerity that belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawheeduhu wa wasfuhu bi sifat al-kamal wal-jalal, to attribute to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the names and attributes of perfection and beauty, to be given appropriately to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to believe in them appropriately and to use them appropriately, is the right that belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wali kitabihi, and that the right which belongs to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for many of us, this may sound basic and elementary, but how sad it is that many of us don't follow these basic elementary teachings. Thus, these words of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam are known as jawami'ul kalim, concise, basic, easy words, which are small words but are deep in meaning if only we could comprehend and implement these words. So sincerity of advice that belongs to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-imanu bihi wal-amal bihi, to believe in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he himself mentioned in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, alif lam mim, dhalika al-kitabu la rayba fihi, hudan lil-muttaqeen. This is a book that entails no doubt, it is guidance for the believing individuals. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that if this book had been from other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they would have found, وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ غَيْرِ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا, they would have found many discrepancies or many mistakes. So believing that this is the final revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not just to stop on that point, وَلَعَمَلْ بِهِ, and to implement the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to live and to act according to the Qur'an or the actions of the Qur'an, which unfortunately some of us may begin to fall short. That we may believe in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we don't seem to implement or carry out the actions which the Qur'an tells us to carry out inside our daily lives. شِدَّةُ حُبِّهِ وَتَعْظِيمُ قَدْرِهِ, an immense love and reverence towards the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that a person should hold is a right that belongs to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person shouldn't just take this, the book, the Qur'an, as just a simple message or something to such a degree that ulama have spoken about placing the Qur'an even on the floor, giving it its due respect. Some of us young Muslims may find that something trivial or something which is extra spiritual, etc. But ulama have spoken about this, that the Qur'an, this is the book, this is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and due respect should be given to them from the beginning to the end. Obviously, the end result is being the higher level of implementation, but it begins from the beginning, that showing that reverence and prestige and honor towards the book, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And fourthly, you find the right, the advice that belongs to the book, and tahkum bil Quran, is to exert ourselves to judge according to the teachings of the Quran and the message of the Quran that the Quran has laid out. Then we find the advice, it continues, وَلِرَسُولِهِ, and then to be sincere in our advice and our devotion and commitment towards the messenger. And ulama have collected numerous rights and obligations which belong to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some 30 odd rights, and some of them condense them to 7 basic rights that belong to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Time does not permit us, or the environment at the moment, to delve into those 7 basic rights that belong to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At-tasdiq bi nubuwwatihi. Advice first to begin to believe in the conviction, the truthfulness of his prophethood, of the messengership that was given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A person, as we find, a person may believe in God, may believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they reject the final prophet. That does not make them a good individual, because the shahada is made of shahadatain, is made from the 2 affirmations of faith to testify that none has the right to be worshipped except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then to testify that indeed that the Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger and the prophet and the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, enters the person into realms of acceptance with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بَدْلُ الطَّاعَ فِي مَا أَمَرَ وَنَهَا عَنْهُ. Exerting your efforts to carry out the commandments that he told us to do and to stay away from the prohibitions he told us to stay away from. نُصْرَتُهُ وَمُعَوَنَتُهُ. To give victory, to aid and to strengthen, in other words, to defend the honor and the right and the dignity of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At-tamassuk bita'atihi, to hold fast towards obedience towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which we find at the moment we can see the external obedience is beginning to diminish towards the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And then we find to believe, to spread his da'wah, wa nashr sunnatihi, to spread the message, is a right that belongs to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to spread his message and to spread his sunnah amongst mankind. And hopefully, inshallah, in the next part, we'll continue the discussion of this hadith of Ad-Dinun Nasiha. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from us all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.